The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VAR FM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaz and I'm going to be your host until about 8 p.m. Who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to make the world of money, business and commerce exciting to you and explain how it works for you and your pocket. So, for today's show, it's looking to be quite an interesting one because it is the last Thursday of September 2019, and as per every last Thursday, now we give you our brand new heavy, and that's the time of the month where we like to celebrate a young person in South Africa, 35 years and below, who is doing other things in their particular field of endeavor. And for today, we have our brand new heavy that is Kanyisile Madonko. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Okay, cool. So we're going to be with him and we're going to be talking to him. He recently got featured on the Forbes 30 under 30. There's Forbes 30 under 30 list. And we're just going to be talking to him about what drives him. But before we get into all that, remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We are VAR FM, that's Voice of Wits. And you can also find our other Facebook page, that's the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAR FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then you can also stream us, find us on our website, that's varfm.co.za. And remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on wits.journalism.co.za/business. You can tell us what you know, because Kanyisile is a serial entrepreneur. He is an executive director of Sakile Madonko Enterprises, a venture creation company with an interest in consulting food and beverages sector as well as agriculture. He is the head of the most successful division, and he was recently named, as I said, under the Forbes 30 under 30 2019 list and under the business category, and was also appointed as executive director of Legal ACAC. Which is a legal accounting firm. So that's how the show is going to be looking like. We will be talking to him in just a few minutes. But before that, we're going to be giving you our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And then we'll also give you our Buffalo Index. So that's how the show is looking like. We are here until 8 p.m. So definitely make sure you don't turn that down. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Rep with Lebo Pasha.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert. We have Lebo Pasha, and he's going to be letting us know about what's been going on in and around the economy. How are you, Lebo?
I'm good, Madiwa. Greetings to you and greetings to the listeners as well.
Ah, thank you so much. And, you know, I understand that today there have been some numbers that have come out. What's going on with that?
So we've got a lot of numbers coming out. We've had a busy sort of almost 2 weeks. We've seen a bit of surprises from the inflation numbers, where we've seen August numbers give us an unexpected increase up to 4.3% versus July. So it is a double surprise. In July, it was quite surprising to see it dropping. And now in August, we've seen it increase. And I think it was mainly breads and cereals and housing prices that were to blame for this increase. But I think also another thing to watch out for in the next month or two will be the effects of what's happening in Saudi Arabia, because we don't live in isolation. Everything that happens around us in the world also affects our economic indicators. So the uncertainty around a possible war or further instability around oil supplies could definitely impact on inflation rates going forward. But also we've had some sort of okay-ish news where we've had 0.25 basis point decrease in the interest rate. The MPC last week decided to keep rates level unanimously, so that's also sort of good news. So it wasn't a bad past week all in all.
Okay.
Looking at stats.
Okay, cool. And then I understand also, because I think one of the big stories that's come out is just around this financial sector, this banking strike. I understand there have been some developments that might or might not happen tomorrow.
So I think despite the results from the court this afternoon, I think there's still a lot of uncertainty. Nobody really knows what is going to happen tomorrow. We've heard the unions go out and say that there's going to be huge disruption, obviously because that's the impact they'd like to have, so that their concerns would be heard. And we've heard the bank saying there'll be minimal disruption, and they've also encouraged a lot of their customers to rather use electronic channels. But I think the most interesting story behind the story is that looking at consumer behavior, one of the biggest issues that the unions have had and the reason behind the strike is the big numbers of retrenchments that we've seen being announced by the banks. But it's a bit ironic that the strike itself is going to shift a lot of customers who previously would have preferred to go into a branch and use face-to-face services.
Yeah.
We're going to see those customers being forced now to start downloading the app and start transacting electronically on the internet, and it could actually backfire in the long term.
Yeah.
So looking globally as well, banking has definitely changed globally. I think this is the direction we're sort of moving in as well as a country, where we've got a lot less branch infrastructure and a lot more versatile and user-friendly electronic channels. So I think it's a bit of a losing battle, but I do side a bit with the unions on the side of reskilling a lot of those workers and bring them into that fourth industrial revolution and equipping them to carry on adding value at the banks as much as possible.
I was actually about to ask, you know, what your thoughts are just around that. Like, is there any point in continuing with the labor action, simply because, as you said, this is not one of those situations where people are downscaling labor because they're making losses. It's simply because people are trying to increase efficiencies, simply because consumer behavior has shifted to digital platforms. So, you know, it's a tough one, isn't it?
No, it'd actually be a bit controversial. I'd say this is a case for organized labor and how unions should think going forward. Because from my view, I feel that the action will actually backfire and will probably accelerate some of the retrenchments that we'll probably see over the next 3 to 5 years as more branches close.
Mm.
And I think it's probably a bit of a case for unionists out there and future unionists out there to think about optimal ways in protesting that don't actually hurt the workers and allow them to actually get reform and support from the general public rather than compromising the position of the workers and having the workers being the biggest losers.
Okay. And then lastly, Eurobonds, $5 billion, what's happening there?
Yes, we've been going all over the globe. Well, our president specifically and some of the members of the executive with the hats trying to raise as much capital to keep South Africa on its feet and to try and also fund the big turnaround in our economy, because we've been promising to turn around this economy and get it back on track, get it growing again. And the government has raised its biggest round of bonds at about $5 billion, and this is in two tranches. There's a 10-year tranche and 30-year notes as well that have been issued. But I think the biggest story around it is again the story behind the story. It's how is this money actually going to be used, and we wouldn't want to find ourselves in a situation where South Africa becomes even more highly indebted. Because of our SOEs and because of the issues with the SOEs, because we've seen the country throw tens of billions of rands at trying to fix the problems at the likes of Eskom. So every 3, 4, 5 months, we're seeing upwards of 15 billion being given to Eskom to try and fix the situation without actually fixing the structural issues within Eskom, which are the corruption, the inefficiencies, and just general operational issues with a lot of the SOEs. So I think that should probably be the biggest story on how is this $5 billion US dollars going to be spent, and will it be spent optimally, or are we going to see ourselves 12 months from now having burnt all of this cash and with our SOEs in a bigger mess, and South Africa approaching that deadly 60% of GDP level of indebtedness.
Okay, cool. So that's been us with our financial expert, that's Lebo Pasha, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And he was letting us know about the higher than expected inflation that came out today out of Stats SA, together with an update on the banking sector strike that's actually been interdicted today from the Labour Court. And then lastly, giving us a roundup of the South African government being able to raise and have its most successful Eurobond sale ever, raising about $5 billion US dollars. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we tell you the state of your 100 Rand in our Buffalo Index.
Turn up your volume. It's our birthday month. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is the Business Buzz, and it's time for us to get into the Buffalo Index. So the Buffalo Index is the part of the show where we give you a roundup of your 100 Rand. It's where we try to see what 100 Rand can do for you in your life. And since today we are with someone who provides consulting services to the world, we decided to go and look for some of the most expensive consultancy fees at the moment per hour. Yes, and we actually have I think I'll start from the back, you know. Let's just keep it, you know, PG.
Sure.
At number five, PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC is coming in at 68 buffaloes an hour. That's 6,800 Rand. And then at number four, you have Bain and Company. That is a management consultant company. And they are charging 71 buffaloes per hour. And then at number three, that's Boston Consulting Group, BCG, and they are, you know, it's a young one at about 75 buffaloes at around 7,500 Rand an hour. At number two, you have one of the biggest consultants in the world, probably the biggest auditing firm in the world, that's Deloitte. And their consulting is coming in at around 78 buffaloes per hour. And then at number one, it's quite a gap, you know, because, you know, between four and five, it's a couple of buffaloes, three and four, same, three and two, all that. But between one and two, you even change the digits. You know, we're not talking triple digit buffalo numbers, because McKinsey will set you back 110 buffaloes an hour. That is 11,000 Rand an hour. Is this how much you're charging?
No. I deal mostly with small businesses, so that pricing metrics doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I just had to check. But anyway, that's been it in terms of our Buffalo Index. As you heard, you know, Kanyisile is telling us he doesn't charge that much. You know, so if you're interested in his business, to know, you know, perhaps what his pricing structure looks like or what he considers, you can definitely make sure you keep listening, because in a few minutes we're going to be talking to him. He is our brand new heavy. So keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We just came from giving you our Buffalo Index together with our Business Wrap. It's time for us to get into the main part of this evening. But before we get into all that, remember that on Facebook we are VFM, that's Voice of Vits. And you can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VFM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. It's time for us to get into that main topic. As I said at the start of the show, it is the last Thursday birthday of September 2019, which means once again, we are celebrating a young person in South Africa who is doing the things in their particular field of endeavor. And today, we are happy and privileged to have Kanyisile Madonko. I need to ask something, you know, yes, as I'm introducing you, because I noticed that on Forbes they say Madonko Nderezina. Yes. So is it double barrel? Are we?
Well, unofficially so.
Yeah.
But officially, Madonko is my real surname.
Yeah.
It forms part of my identity.
Yeah.
However, I never got the chance to actually be identified as such because my father was an exile.
Yeah.
For a significant portion of a significant portion of time.
Yeah.
So when he returned to Zimbabwe, he came back under an alias.
Ah.
Yeah. So Nderezina is what is officially on the papers.
Yeah.
But I'm born in Madonko.
Okay, cool. Yes. So he is the founder and executive director of Sakile Madonko Enterprises, and we're going to be talking to him, just picking his brain around, you know, how he got on this Forbes list, and you know, what other Forbes lists he wants to get onto, because the nice thing about Forbes, they have many lists, eh?
They do.
You know,
they do.
Their billionaire lists, their cash king lists, you know, so, you know, we'll be talking to him to just find out what he is looking out for his life. So just as a bit of a, you know, introduction, tell us, you know, the story. You've given us a little bit of a preview, you know, with how the surname came to be about.
Yeah.
But for you, you know, how did that, how did you end up?
As an entrepreneur. Yeah. I was born and raised in Zimbabwe, Bulawayo. I think I've always come from an entrepreneurial family, entrepreneurial by circumstance, not by choice. My mom and dad, my dad used to make chalk. At home. My mom used to cook sweets. The sweets that we made were made from brown sugar, cream of tartar, vanilla essence, and I'm trying to think of the recipe. There was something else that food coloring. So I think that's where it spanned from. You know, I used to see my parents hustle so hard. At the time, both of them were teachers, so teachers don't earn much at home, unfortunately. So I used to make sweets with my mom and dad. I was from the age of 11 to about 13.
Mm.
And I think my first proper encounter with entrepreneurship was when I was 13 years old, because then I started seeing the matrices of how the business worked effectively. And then growing up, I was just the black sheep. I think I never dreamed of the typical career that my peers dreamt of. So they just wanted, you know, I want to pass, I want to be a doctor or pilot. But they didn't seem to want money. And I think as a kid who grew up in a township, I always dreamt that, look, I need to be the guy who's driven in a nice car. I need to show my peers that there's more to life than just working for someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was it.
So do you judge people that don't want money?
I've stopped wanting money, surprisingly.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm now focused on impact. I think from impact you derive value.
Mm.
And of course, if you sell high impact, you actually then make the money. But the focus is, the core is not the money anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't judge people. That,
but the money is still going to come.
The money comes. The money comes. But the money is an incentive for what you do. It's not necessarily the core.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I just needed to clarify, you know, that one. and I understand that there was a Thai business once upon a time. Unfortunately, our listeners can't, you know, see, you know, into the studio.
Well, I mean, I'm live.
No, so he's live, you know, for those that want to find him on social media.
Yeah.
What's the handle?
At Kanyisile Madonko.
Mm. Yeah. You can just tune in, go on live, because the man is well dressed, you know, so I can believe he used to sell ties once upon a time.
Yes.
What happened with that business?
It's still there.
Mm.
So where it came from was when I moved to South Africa in 2014. I moved here February 2014. In April, there was a guy, I was reading a book about mentorship.
Yeah.
There was a guy I used to look up to a lot, and he was in the fashion industry. So I looked up to the guy so much, I wrote him an email one time. It was around April. mid-April, and he responded to the email 2 weeks later. He's one of, I think, the most significant and probably most successful stylists in South Africa.
Okay.
And I worked under him for about 2 years because I thought I was really keen and interested in fashion.
Mm.
So that was a journey for myself to really discover myself.
Mm.
So after I left his company, I went back as his consultant, but I believe in the notion of cash flow when you develop a business, and you'll find that the way we structure businesses is short-term, mid-term, and long-term. The short-term being your immediate cash flow type infrastructure. So the Thai business was that for me.
Mm.
I needed to, I think as an entrepreneur, you need to eat. So the short-term was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess I need to ask, where did you go to school?
Here at Wits, I was.
And before that?
In Zim. So I went to John Tulloch High School.
Yeah.
John Tulloch Secondary,
as
it was, for my O levels. Then I went to Matopo High School.
Yeah.
For A levels.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the, what's it called, in the high school years?
Yes.
Were there ventures, hustles, businesses?
There were a lot of ventures. So my dad likes to say that my first encounter with entrepreneurship was very unorthodox because it was a bribery business.
Did you just say it was a bribery business?
Let me clarify.
Give me this business model for bribery.
As a prefect, I was known to, a primary school prefect, I was known to have the toughest punishments.
Yes.
So what happened was we couldn't afford the nice food. I went to a private school, primary school.
Yeah.
So we couldn't afford the food that other people came with to school.
Yes.
You know, we didn't have tuck shop money because our parents were trying to maintain the school fees in that school. So the inspiration really came from, they used to make this, I don't know if you know Skunda Moya.
Uh-huh.
It's a type of bread that you bake yourself at home, and then our helper at the time tried to add food coloring so it would look green. It was odd, and you know, people would laugh at you, and it was just a mess. So the inspiration for me to run that unorthodox business was my younger brother, who was at the kindergarten in the same school, couldn't really carry that kind of food to school.
Mm.
So I'd then ask you, do you want me to punish you, or are you going to incentivize me to punish you?
Uh-huh.
And in what I know to be scaling now, I scaled that business to the extent that there was a significant portion of money by the time I was caught, and my parents had to settle the amount. But
so you identified a business problem.
Yeah.
Then you came up with a business strategy around this problem. And then you executed this strategy.
I had to execute the strategy.
Because, you know, kids don't want to get punished.
Yes.
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 You know.
I mean, I had a really tough punishment. One of my best was I had a pile of stones by a tree, and you'd carry those stones and take them to the ground during break time.
Yeah.
While people are eating, you are carrying piece by piece, taking them there.
Yes.
Once you finish the pile there, you take my pile back to where you took it from. You understand? So people didn't like
that. I am enjoying this. Okay.
Yeah.
And then that was
the unorthodox end.
Yeah.
Fast tracked when I was about 14. Mm. I met two guys. Their company was called Ducks Products.
Yeah.
They made beautiful denim. I think it's some of the best denim I've ever worn in my life.
Mm.
I couldn't afford to buy it. So my proposition to them was, look, I go to a boarding school, and I think if I wear your jean once or twice somewhere, you're bound to get a few clients.
So like influencer marketing.
Well, yes, as we know it today.
Yes.
As we know it today. And
this was before the gram.
Yeah, I was really stylish as a kid. I'd like to think I was a cool kid, as they used to call us back in the day. I used to wear sneakers and jeans and whatnot. So I think I was really stylish. So they said, you know what, let's give it a run and let's see. We did that. I was with them from when I was 14 to about up until when I was 16. Then in my A levels, fun fact, when I left them, I was always concerned about how the business functions, even when I didn't know that I'm actually looking at the business processes and I'm looking at how you're managing the business. I was always concerned about maybe let's put money here, maybe let's do this. And we wore skinny jeans when skinny jeans weren't a thing in Zimbabwe. We were color blocking when color blocking wasn't a thing in the country. By the time people caught on to the wave, we were way past that. Then in A level, so we used to wear these really hipster type pants.
Yes.
But my uncle, so I come from a family of tailors. My uncle's a tailor, and he used to then make my pants. And he'd just put a fake label there by the back to make it look like I bought the pants. So a lot of guys would then ask me, where did you get your pants? And I'd say to them, no, I've got a supplier. And my deal with the uncle was then, you charge $2.50 to tailor pants. They bring their own fabric. So I will charge $3.50. And the dollar's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that ran throughout the course of my A-levels. Yeah.
Yeah, entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it starts young, but one of the things I really want to understand is after that you then find yourself at Wits.
Yes.
Right? And I understand that the journey at Wits wasn't a linear journey.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't go from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It sort of went, stopped, started again. It's... perhaps continuing,
yes.
You know, how, what happened there?
So, just before I came to Wits, I took a gap year school, from school. I worked as a teacher, then I worked as a voting, as a voter officer for the 2013 elections in Zim. Then I was a referendum officer as well. But I realized that that wasn't tailored for me.
Yeah.
So, I then left teaching. I focused more on co-curricular. Now, moving to South Africa, I realized that when I got 12 points for my A-levels. So the immediate thing was, you've done well. You should pursue a professional degree. And the best thing that I could get was LLB. So when I was accepted, even though, honestly, since I was a kid, I wasn't interested in the typical education infrastructure. I'm an avid reader, but I wasn't really interested. So when I came to Wits, I excelled in first year, failed only one subject. Second year, I didn't fail anything. Third year, I did fairly well. And then as you grow older, I think you also mature and you realize that there is no time to waste. You can't pursue a dream that's not yours. You know, I wasn't passionate enough about the law. And I'm not one to pursue passion. I believe in doing what needs to be done. But at that point in time, I realized that law school was sort of a waste of my personal time. I needed, because I was already in business and I was trying to build this business. I had been working full time since first year. So I was trying to get into this business world, but juggling between the two worlds wasn't an easy thing. So,
Okay. There's something I need to understand. If you're saying that you... what's the words I'm looking for?
Yes.
If you're saying that you believe in doing what needs to be done and not necessarily pursuing a passion, how did you decide which business to start?
So, like you said, the ties.
Yeah.
When I started working, and I think I was lucky enough to actually have access to someone who was doing exceptionally well in the fashion industry, because I thought I wanted to be in fashion. I thought I wanted to be a stylist and, you know, all these glamorous camera lights, action type stuff. But I was exposed to the industry and I was always inclined to then look at, what are we doing with the money? How can we improve our service? How can we improve the customer experience? How can we be more profitable? And by the time I think I was 1 year, 6 months into the job, the guy shifted me from being an assistant consultant to him to focusing on management. You know, he was saying, look at how we can improve the business. Look at how we can make more money. And you don't know the jargon at the time. So you're just looking at, okay, most people are buying this particular fabric, so let's invest more money into this fabric. This is the style that's being bought, so let's speak to the suppliers. Let's invest more money into that. So how did I come into realizing that I wanted to get into this kind of business? It was really, I stumbled upon it. I won't lie to you and say I knew what I was. When I started the company, it wasn't even management consulting. It was business development.
Yeah.
Because all I knew was I wanted to make businesses work better.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was something called management consulting. I didn't know that there were strategy consultants out there. So I just got into business development.
Okay. We are in studio with Kanyisile Madonko. He is our brand new heavy for the month of September. Just getting some background information, some interesting businesses that have been started along the way. We've literally gone from kindergarten all the way to you know, sort of university. There was a Thai business. There was a community utility business along the way. You know, the, and he's just telling us the fact that he doesn't necessarily believe in chasing a passion, but rather just doing what needs to be done, identifying a problem and trying to find a solution to that. So we're just going to take a quick break, and then on the other side of this we'll be back. This is the Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is the Business Buzz. Remember that you can join in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts on our brand new heavy. On Facebook, we have our firm, that's Voice of Vids. Our other Facebook page is Vids Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VarFM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So we're in studio with Kanyisile Madonko, who is our brand new heavy for the month of September. And before the break, he was just letting us know a little bit about his life, where he began. And right now, you know, we had sort of ended the story at around the Vits days. So, you know, just picking up from there, you know, has being on the Forbes 30 under 30 list, has it changed your life? One. Yeah. And two, how did you actually end up on that list?
So I'll start with how did I end up there?
Yeah.
So in 2017, I decided I was not the perfect person to lead the company.
Yeah.
So I relinquished the CEO position to a phenomenal woman, my life partner, Itumeleng Makgato. And she's been playing the CEO position, and she's been overseeing the strategic development of the company,
yeah,
as far as clients and all that. But I then became the executive director, focusing primarily on the venture side of things, but also heading up the consultancy.
Yeah.
So I think the consultancy started off as, like I said, as a business development consultancy, and we realized that we weren't really business development. It was too broad. We were management consultants, and that's what we're trying to do, but we're niching it particularly for small businesses.
Yeah.
So she nominated me for the Forbes 30 under 30 without me knowing. And I think 2 months later, I receive an email. Hi, you've been shortlisted for the Forbes 30 under 30. We'd like your audited financial statements, a motivational letter as to why you should be there, and a tax clearance certificate, and a few other documents that they required.
Yeah.
I sent those through, and was very anxious. Very anxious. So later on, a reply comes back, and someone is like, we've assessed your company. We're in partnership with Grant Thornton, S&G Grant Thornton, and they re-audited the company, and you have the potential of actually scaling it. But we also look at people who have the potential of being worth $200 million and above.
Mm.
And based on your business's trajectory and its past, we believe that you are such a person.
There's that money.
So after, I think, the auditing, they then said, yeah, you've been shortlisted for the business category.
Yeah.
And everything has been done. Then the announcement, I mean, I knew about 2-3 weeks before, but the announcement was officially on the 28th of June. That was a dope, I think it was great. Then has it changed my life? It's given me access.
All right.
It's given me better
doors
access.
Doors are opening.
Doors are opening.
The sky seems bluer.
You don't understand. So what happens is, when you start a business, there are those people that you ideally want to work with.
Yes.
Those people seldom listen to you as a startup.
Mm.
So the big thing for me was knowing that I could reapproach those people and chances are they would open those doors for me. I mean, I met one of the guys I had approached for an investment when I started the company, and it was really investing in, I needed resources. I didn't need money.
Yeah.
And at the time he was like, no, I don't derive value from your business, which I understand because I myself did not understand the business model. Mm. But fast track this year, he's the one who texted me and he's like, let's grab a coffee.
Mm.
Let's talk about how you intend to change Africa. That those were his words. And I realized that the conversation was more level-headed because we were now speaking on the same level.
Yes.
It wasn't a kid who's trying to start a business but doesn't fully understand the business model.
Yes,
so it has, I think, on a personal note, it's validating because Forbes is like this big thing.
Yeah.
My best friend will tell you that I always said I'd be on Forbes at 25. And it happened. So it's validating that entrepreneurship is no piece of cake. It's not as glamorous as people portray it on social media.
Mm.
You understand? So for all those hard times and those hardships, it actually then tells you that, look, you're on the right path. It might not be great right now, but you'll do well. And I think on the business end, it just opens up the necessary doors and the relevant doors, and it grants you the ear opening.
If you don't mind me asking, what led, you said her name is?
Itumeleng.
What led her to actually nominate you? I know you said she didn't tell you, but
yes.
why do you think she, because it seems like such a chance occurrence, you know what I mean?
Yes. So I think she knows me for the entrepreneur I am.
Yes.
Purely and wholly. Because I have a mind that grinds, I think, at least 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
And she has experienced it because even in her own endeavors, I'm always the guy who then look at the semantics. How will this business work?
Yeah.
You understand? And so for that, and I started the company. I founded the company. I'm the person who was at the forefront of its development. And I'm overly optimistic.
Mm.
I think that was it. She just felt maybe you need a reward for what you've been doing and the endurance so far, because I won't lie to you, it's hard building a business in a country where you're not indigenous, so to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things you mentioned earlier on was the fact that you started this business, you said in your first year, right?
Yes.
When was that? How long has the business been running?
So
and because we are a business show.
Yes.
Are you guys in the black?
What's the black?
Are you guys profitable?
So I started the business unofficially in 2014. Didn't know what I was doing. That's why I went to work for Linda. Officially registered the company in 2015.
Yeah.
My then partner, Luntu, good friend of mine, great businessman. We got into the business together. Initially, as you can see, that it's termed enterprises. I've always been interested in being a multifaceted type business.
Yes.
So I wanted to create many businesses, hence the venture creation end of the business.
Yeah.
Are we profitable? Yes, we are.
Okay. No. Just checking. Just checking. Because you know, in this current environment, especially when you look at some of the trends with some really big startups around the world, look at what's happened with WeWork.
Yes.
You have this crazy $47 billion valuation that someone literally just thumbsucked, yet they are not making any money, and you're just wondering, like, what's there?
Yeah.
And for people that might not understand what you mean by, you know, multifaceted and management consulting, what do you actually do on a daily basis? Like, what actually happens, like, in the course of you doing business?
Business, okay. So a big portion of our work on the management consulting end is we focus on a few very important things.
Mm.
One, helping businesses become more profitable.
Yeah.
So it might be a business that looks to make more money, or it might be a business that's stagnating. So we employ certain mechanisms. It might be strategy, so strategically positioning it. It might be R&D, or it might be product development. We help those small. So those are your small businesses that have surpassed the three-year curse. So they are not really on the verge of failure.
I like how you call it three-year curse. Yeah.
So they don't. They are past the potential of failing, and they are performing. So some of them just want to scale and make more money, or some of them have been maybe making 5 million for the past 3 years, and they just want to know why they're making 5 million consecutively over 3 years. And then the other end of it is consulting with startups. So we focus for startups, we focus primarily on the youth demography. We're working with the development and leadership unit at WITS, and we have a consulting office there where we drive entrepreneurial initiatives. Mm-hmm. So we, this year we launched an accelerator program called the Entrepreneurs with Purpose, EWP, mm-hmm. that focuses on helping the youth. So penultimate year and graduate startups gain access to market, gain access to funding opportunities, but also just viability. How do we assess your business idea, and how do we take it from ideation to commercialization?
Yeah.
So that's predominantly what we do on a daily basis. So we focus on profitability, viability, scaling, and commercializing the business.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does the future of the business look like?
So on the venture creation end, we have a few other companies that are, or subsidiaries that are under the company, Gentlemanly, which is, I think, disrupting the suit industry holistically. It started off as the Thai business, hence I was saying. It's not dead, it just developed. Okay. Yeah. So it's disrupting that. It's more on the network marketing end.
Yeah.
There's a product that we're developing with a company based in Shanghai. Yeah. So that's going to launch, I think, sometime mid next year.
Mm.
We just launched a virtual assistance business because we realized that one of the reasons why small businesses fail, particularly startups and your entry-level small businesses, is because they fail to perform their administrative purpose.
Yeah.
So FUAs, which stands for Efficient Ways, is a virtual assistance business. You get a business manager of sorts, mm-hmm. at the fraction of a price you'd pay for a personal assistant.
Yeah.
And they help you with all your admin and whatnot. And then we've got, we were in restaurating at some point in time. But what I want to focus on, I was in Zimbabwe recently, is opening up opportunities for women-run entities, or black women-run entities, in the manufacturing, agro-processing and agriculture and mining sectors.
Mm.
Yeah, so we want to open opportunities for black women-owned businesses,
yeah.
and link them with opportunities in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and the rest of the SADC region.
Okay, cool. Yes. Before we take a break.
Yes.
What are you reading at the moment?
What am I currently reading? I'm rereading The Intelligent Investor. It's my favorite book.
That is Graham.
Yeah, Benjamin Graham.
Benjamin Graham, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I've always been for the notion of value investing.
Hmm.
I think we as a people, particularly the black community, lack in understanding what value investing is. Hmm. I'm fairly big on stock investing, but I think it broadens your mindset beyond the scope of just investing in stock, but how to invest in a manner that you derive actual value in anything. So maybe real estate, it may be a company, you understand? So the principle is what I'm looking for. And I believe it's a manual. So I always revisit the principles time and time again.
Best book you've read?
The Richest Man in Babylon.
That's a good book.
The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay, cool. So we're just going to take one break. We are in studio with our brand new heavy, Kanyisile. We're just going to take a break, and then on the other side of this, we come to the end of the show. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz.
This is The Business Buzz. We are almost at the end of today's episode. We're in studio with Kanyisile Madonko, who is our brand new heavy for this month. And we sort of run through the life now. we started young.
Yes.
You know, we started from primary school days, ended up at WITS, and then getting into the business world. He's been in business for 5 years now.
Yes.
And he's just giving us that journey. On The Business Buzz, our tradition, one thing we ask all our brand new heavies is, what do you want your legacy to be?
What do I want my legacy to be?
Mm.
That's a powerful question.
See that silence?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
I think development, impact-driven entrepreneurship, and legacy entrepreneurship, so to say the least. I believe I don't work for myself, but I work for the generations to come. And hence, I mean, if you had asked me the same question when I was 21 years old, I would have said to you, look, I want them to know that I had a helicopter and a jet and a Rolls Royce, but now it's the alleviation of poverty. I one day want to start the Madonko Foundation, which will focus on alleviating poverty and eradicating people, the number of people living on the streets.
So, as you heard it, that's been our brand new heavy. He wants to live beyond just himself. He's talking about an evolution in his values. You know, back in the day, he wanted to be Mr. Bling Bling. He wanted people to know that he has arrived with his car and his helicopter. But now it's about value. It's about impact and actually eradicating poverty. And he wants to have his own foundation one day. It's been a very interesting conversation. You know, this seems like a very level-headed young man that we're dealing with, and I definitely hope that you're gonna go, you know, onto, you know, bigger and better lists one day. You know, today is a 30 under 30. For all we know, one day you might be on that top list, that billionaires list, making that impact and actually, you know, creating that value. So definitely, it's been a good one. Something that really stuck out to me is just the fact that where he said he doesn't believe in doing something just because of passion, but rather doing things because they need to be, they just, you know, they just need to be done. And it actually reminded me of, it's a saying, it's Denzel Washington, and it's in, I think the movie was called The Great Debaters, and he says, we do the things that we have to do so that we can do the things that we want to do. You know, so it definitely reminds me of that in a, such a big way. So we definitely hope that you prosper in future. How can people who want to perhaps get into business with you or either engage with you, perhaps you have a newsletter or something, people that want to engage with you, how can they get in touch?
I'd first of all say chances are if you follow our new endeavor, Legal Accounting, you'll definitely have caught my eye. But beyond that, my details are everywhere. I'm not one to, I believe in collective development. So you go onto my Instagram, my details are there. You go onto my Twitter, Facebook, it's the same thing. So do reach out and let's chat.
Okay, cool. Yes, and then something else. This is just you know, just a curiosity.
Yes.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Look, I read.
Yeah.
I enjoy reading.
Yeah.
I'm an amateur golf handy.
Oh, good.
So I play golf. Not regularly though.
Yeah.
It's a timeless thing. But mostly a nice glass of wine, a nice cigar.
All right.
Yeah.
The finer things. Just treat yourself.
Yeah, just to treat myself, relax, you know, in the backyard, just sit and enjoy nature.
Okay, cool. So thank you so much. That's been it for today's show. Thank you so much. You can get in touch with us. Let us know of what you thought about our conversation. You know, were you inspired as much as we were in studio? Let us know on Facebook. We have our FM, that's Voice of Vids. And you can also find our other Facebook page, that's Vids Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VARFM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Bus. And then remember that podcasts of the Business Bus Show are available on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've come to the end of tonight's show. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kotlano Serame, together with our executive producers, that's Simba Honde, Glory Mabuza, together with our producers Lonobo Sichebi and Ntando Timba. Thank you so much once again to everyone who was listening. You definitely make sure you don't turn that dial, because the Vids Radio is a 24-hour radio station. On the other side of this, we're going to be having Living Electro. So don't miss the Business Bus, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Remember that the Business Bus is sponsored by ABSA. So from myself, Mudio Omar, Justice Kavaza, and the rest of the team, it's good evening and take care.
The Business Bus. The Business Buzz Podcast.